All right, everybody, this is episode 43 of Nerds United, and it's coming to you on Free Comic Book Day. That's right, May the 2nd, the first Saturday of May. Every year, Free Comic Book Day, and comic book shops around the country, if not more. I should know that. I've talked with the Free Comic Book Day founder, Joe Field, but I should know that. But anyway, we'll play it safe and say that comic book stores across the country are celebrating and hooking you up with some free comics. And so check that out. Go to your local, if you don't know where your local comic book shop is, Google or freecomicbookday.com. Yeah, freecomicbookday.com will tell you participating comic book stores in your area, so check that out. I am recording all of this. I have been busy, so I'm recording all of this Friday night. Went with my wife and a couple of our friends to see Avengers Age of Ultron tonight, so that has a nice tie-in with this episode when I'm wrapping up my coverage of the 10th annual Cape Comic Con and visiting with Marvel artist Greg Land, who did that amazing variant cover of Avengers Ultron Forever that that featured the iconic bridge there in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. So we have that to share with you, and so that's coming up in episode 43. But the movie itself was everything you'd expect it to be, and then some. I did not. No, I. It's not that I avoided spoilers. It's not that I avoided, you know, leaked information, things like that. But I was really impressed overall with just the general storytelling of the movie. I mean, it's Joss Whedon, so I expected good things, certainly. Even if it is reportedly his final outing with Marvel, just some tremendous stuff there. Cast, of course, the main characters that we've seen all did a phenomenal job. Even Paul Bettany, who, of course, recently had played, had played Jarvis, really nailed it as Vision. I think, actually, that I came away with a new favorite. I think Vision might be my new favorite, just because, I mean, they stayed so true to all of his abilities. So I think if you haven't seen it, if you're listening to this, I'm pretty sure that you'll enjoy it when you do get around to watching it. And just James Spader as Ultron made perfect sense, because he's got that kind of persona, I guess, that kind of attitude, that delivery that just says, you know, I'm here and you are going to take me seriously. And even in doing that, he had some jokes cracked, the bad guy cracking some lines, not nearly as endearing, I would say, as a Loki, but you could definitely understand where Ultron was coming from, and made it, I think, villain-wise, made Avengers Age of Ultron a bit more credible than the Avengers, you know, the initial one, from the standpoint of, I don't know, and I'll probably get ripped to shreds in this in the comments if, you know, people actually comment. Nobody comments. It's crazy. But I don't. The human race as a species, I don't think if there was intelligent life out there, I'm pretty sure that they wouldn't mess with us. And I'm not saying that to be cocky. I'm saying that quite the opposite. If I looked at the world in the condition it is, you know, if I'm a higher intelligence being from another world, I say give them another 100 years and they're gonna take care of themselves, you know, kind of. It's kind of a negative attitude, certainly. So and I'm certainly not going to take this in a grand political, you know, way, because that's not what I do here at Nerds United. But I don't think that aliens would bother coming to Earth. So the idea of an artificial intelligence that is Earth-made, even with all of the best intentions going awry, again, to me, that's a bit more credible as a potential threat you know, down the road. So anyway, I did not, you know, and I'm going to try to get through this as spoiler-free as possible. I did not know going in some of the elements, I guess, that would go into the plot for this. I enjoyed the casting of the twins, you know, being Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. For whatever reason, I just wanted to call him Pietro Maximoff and, like, forgot his powers name, you know, his code name, whatever. I enjoyed the Hawkeye backstory, if you will. There's a little bit of that. They kind of give a little bit of backstory, you know, through the powers of Wanda, you know, the Scarlet Witch. They kind of see everybody's grandest fears, and that was pretty cool to see from the standpoint of, you know, like, what is it that, you know, Captain America fears, you know, because he's kind of the golden boy, you know, so if he has a fear, then everybody should have a fear. So I think they did a nice job of working with that particular area. And again, I found the movie completely enjoyable. The mid-credit scene was just a downright treat for me, having, you know, basic knowledge of the Marvel universe, I guess. And spoiler alert, I'll save you this one. There's no post credit scene. You know, a lot of times, well, classic example, going back to the first Avengers, the mid credit scene, they showed the Chitauri, you know, individual cleric or whatever you want to call him, and Thanos, and the post credit scene, you know, after the scrolling credits, they had, you know, the Avengers eating the shawarma. This is the only spoiler I'll provide you, and that is the fact that there is no post credits scene. So there you go. If you were hoping for an appearance by Spider-Man or something like that, hate to break it to you, but that's all right, because there were other, you know, absences that were noted, you know, on social media on Friday, like there's no Loki. So I know I'm spoiling that one for you too. Overall, I think they did a really nice job of explaining the Infinity Stones. So I don't think that's a spoiler, because we all know that's where this entire universe is heading, towards, you know, the Infinity Wars coming out in a couple of years, and they're already starting to film those. So kudos to Marvel for, you know, they're filming that. Have they finished filming all the other ones yet? Because there's before that, don't you have Thor Ragnarok, and I know you have, you know, Captain America Civil War, and so they're very ambitious, just incredibly ambitious at Marvel Studios, and kudos to them, because they have a proven record of success. So with all that being said, again, episode 43 is just me kind of recapping my weekend, my experience at the Cape Comic-Con, and the few minutes that I was able to spend with Greg Land, and I have my own post-credits scene. I don't want to call it a scene, but post-credits clip, so stick around for the very end, and you'll have a hint. Actually, not a hint, it's pretty much a dead giveaway. A dead giveaway on my next guest, episode 44, which will be dropping on Wednesday. That will be Wednesday, May the 6th. So be sticking around till the end of the episode for that. This one is going to be a tad short. It's hard to believe that we're already 2 weeks removed from the Cape Comic-Con. It feels like I was just there visiting with my friends, you know, yesterday, it seemed. So lots been going on the last couple weeks. Hopefully you've been doing well. And again, I appreciate all of your support. And, you know, even if it's clicking, you know, hitting that share button or retweeting, if you see something, or telling your friends, hey, there's this guy who's not a celebrity. He puts out a decent podcast that I enjoy. You don't have to, you know, get crazy. You don't have to over embellish or anything like that. But just, you know, if you enjoy the show, share the show and remind them that it's on iTunes, Stitcher, and that they can appreciate the show. Also, jitterymonkey.com/nerdsunitedpodcast. And they can also go there to support the show with the Amazon banner and the DraftKings banner. So check that out and support the advertisers, support you know, the entire jitterymonkey.com network. And we will see you with the rest, I should say, of episode 43 after the jump here on Nerds United.
Comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 43 of Nerds United. Greg Mahochko here. I feel like we just talked briefly a moment ago, and I don't know why I couldn't have included that part in to this part of the discussion, except for the fact that they're not really related, except to say that in one part I was going to be talking about another part. Anyway, this episode, if you're a long-time listener to the show, you know that there's often a beverage of choice for the show, and sometimes it is an adult beverage, and sometimes it's a carbonated beverage, and this time, going old school, one of the early drinks. That's right, you know what I'm talking about, dihydrogen monoxide, water, H2O, agua, yeah. So, gotta, I feel like this is not going to be a very long or in-depth episode because I feel like my throat's already starting to close up. I don't know if it's allergies or weather or what. So we'll get as much information in as we can, and then I'll get to the production, and then we'll get to the scheduling of the post and publishing. You'll have it first thing this Saturday morning. It's, according to my clock, it's already Saturday morning. 10 after 12. So let's jump right into things, recapping my experience at the 10th annual Cape Comic-Con, affectionately known, at least by one being me, as Comic-Con or Cape Con X, Osage Center. They went to the Osage Center. Of course, you know a little bit about it. We talked talked with Ken Murphy a month ago now, end of March, something like that, and have been sharing the panel discussions with you for the last three episodes. John Wesley Shipp, Desiree Cosplay was last Saturday, and then this past week we had the Colin Bunn panel, which was just phenomenal, and so fortunate that I was able to spend a few minutes visiting with Colin after the fact, same with Desiree. So let's just jump into my, if you will, Comic-Con experience. The plan was always for me to go down to Cape Saturday morning and, you know, get an early start because it's about a two-hour drive for me. Go down to Cape, essentially get set up. I visited with Ken Murphy, the organizer, director, however you want to call it. I visited with him pretty early on and said, you know, what are the chances that I could try to record the panels? And he didn't have a problem with it. He said, you know, let me find out through John Wesley Shipp's people and just you know, see if they have a problem with it. If they don't have a problem with it, we will you know, have their blessing, so to speak. So I got down there. First of all, I had placed an order on Amazon, free plug for them, for a couple of cables I needed that I did not have in my arsenal, which is hilarious because I didn't really have any equipment in my podcasting arsenal just yet. That's going to come, folks, I promise you, eventually. But so I ordered a couple cables, got them earlier in that week, and you know, loaded up the laptop, loaded up the cables. The plan was to get there about 9:15. That would give me 45 minutes to get everything set up before the Colin Bunn panel, which was the first of the day at 10 o'clock, and You know, so I meet with Ken. I say, Ken, who do I got? You know, where's the panel room? Who do I got to talk to get things set up? And he, Ethan was a huge help. I don't know, doubt he's listening, but if he was, huge help as far as getting me what I needed. And there was another gentleman, I want to say his name was Tony, but I might be inaccurate on that. Anyway, these guys were more familiar with the Osage Center down there in Cape, and were kind of my go-tos, because Ken, you know, being the organizer and all over the place, you know, I had to go pick up some of these featured guests at their hotel and get them brought over. So I get with these guys, and the idea, you know, was that I was just going to hook into the sound system and record the panels. The problem that we found early on is that I didn't know where the sound system was, and when we found the sound system, I didn't have the right cables. It's always something, right? So obviously very much the onus on that one is for me, not being prepared. So the Colin Bunn panel was actually recorded on the same thing I'm recording this right now, and that's my iPhone. I love that voice memo function. I've loved it since I was in traditional radio doing sports, and I could go up to a coach after a game and get their thoughts, and I'll tell you what, it enhances that broadcast when you're just able to, you know, plug in coaches' post-game thoughts and, you know, play that 6:30 in the morning for, you know, for the listeners. But so I did the Colin Bunn panel recorded on my phone because I just ran out of time. In fact, I think Ken even gave me, you know, more time to try to get things squared away. That Colin Bunn panel was supposed to start at 10, and I was probably running around. They probably didn't get that thing started until, you know, closer to 10:25, 10:30, I think, is when that one began. And even then, you know, people were like, oh, I think we're in the wrong panel. Is this the Misty Brew panel? No, it was not the Misty Brew panel. So they actually left, which I thought was, I don't know, different. Like, it's a free panel. It's not like you're paying extra for it. But again, if it's not something you're interested in, like, I wouldn't sit through a panel on the Vampire Diaries. Just using that as a reference to my wife, in case you were listening. Just not my cup of tea, not my... I'm not the demographic. So we got the Colin Bunn panel, got it recorded. Colin and Steve were super cool guys and had no problem. You know, they just sat there at the table and visited. The Misty Brew experience was up next, and I had entertained some thoughts of trying to get that recorded, but I knew that, you know, I wanted to take it easy on my phone and charge it as much as possible, not knowing if I would need it. And things kind of started to fill up a little bit. They brought in a camera crew for Misty Brew experience, and I'm like, there's not really any room for me. So I actually used that opportunity to sneak away and went into the Old Town Cape area down by the riverfront, and I needed to get the right cable. So I went, plugged in my GPS in my truck and typed in Chival Beans because it's a music store, and drove right past it. GPS took me down close to the riverfront, and Chival Beans was about 3 blocks the other way. And the truly sad part, the blame does not go to the GPS. The blame goes to me, because I drove past the building with a huge sign on it that said Chival Beans, and I was just so focused on that GPS screen that I completely missed what was essentially right in front of me. So, able to find it, got what I needed, hopped back in my truck, got back to the con, and oddly enough, I'm kind of rushing back into the panel room. The Misty Brew experience had just ended, and they were setting up for the Desiree cosplay panel. So I'm, you know, fighting to get my laptop turned on. I'm fighting to get you know, the cords plugged in to check, make sure everything's working. People are filing in, people dressed in cosplay who want to obviously learn more about cosplay. And so then, of course, Desiree's setting up, and they're having technical difficulties, and she was supposed to have like a PowerPoint presentation with, you know, some progress pictures of some of the various cosplay costumes that she had done, and we were, you know, minus the proper cord on that as well, so which benefits me, because as you heard the audio in episode 41, you kind of got the same experience as those people who were in the room, because there wasn't the visual aids, with the exception of some, I guess I'm going to call them gauntlets. I think they're more of the like bracelets, but the things that Desiree had handcrafted, and then you know, just her own, you know, costume. She was She-Ra. I think we mentioned that before. So you just, you know, as she was a walking visual aid, if that sounds appropriate. I don't know. But anyway, we made it work. I was able to get that recorded. I introduced myself to her. I said, here's my card. That's right. Greg Mahochko, Nerds United, has his own business cards. Here's my card. I'd like to record your panel for use as a future podcast. And maybe I caught her because she was trying to get the PowerPoint thing to work, or, you know, the projector. But she said, yeah, that's fine. So, boom, we were able to get the panel recorded and moved on from there. It was essentially, you know, that presentation ended, and, you know, people emptied out, and then it was time for the John Wesley Shipp panel, the flash panel, if you will, and, you know, everybody kind of had to clear out. I got to stay, because Ken knows me. People who had the flash pass, you know, were able to, you know, get the front row seat, if you will. A really nice crowd, and I think I've stated, you know, in the John Wesley Shipp, you know, episode 40, about a week and a half ago, just how great he was, how gracious, and how well he worked that crowd. I mean, he might as well have been in Hall H in San Diego, because he played it, you know, like there were a couple thousand people in there, and just Q&A the entire time, and just so awesome with such great stories, and you could just tell that he truly enjoys what he does, and the people that he gets to work with. So just like I said, just a tremendous episode. If you haven't heard the flash panel, the John Wesley Shipp panel, you need to check it out. Now, that was one I spent a little bit more time closely monitoring the levels on the laptop. Now, the downside about that was that the laptop was pretty well in, you know, with the sound system I was able to tap into. And the funny part about that is that was in the storage closet. So there was a lot of me standing up, sneaking into the closet, checking to make sure everything was okay, and coming right back to my seat, which, you know, obviously it's not like I was on the other side of the room. I was right there by the storage closet, but I don't think I was a distraction to anybody, because I was able to just kind of sneak in, do what I needed to do, sit back down, and enjoy the panel as we went. Now, the panel ends. I collect my stuff, you know, the goods that I had. Took a quick walk. My friends, I got to give them shout-outs. The Smitties, the Smiths technically, but I'll call them Mr. and Lady Smiths. On conditions of anonymity and such, you know, innocent until proven guilty, and what is it that they used to say in Dragnet? Their identities have been changed to protect the innocent. Close enough. So they were my hosts. I crashed at their place that night, but we'll get into that here as we go. So they were there, you know, texting back and forth, and they said, hey, we're here, we're walking the floor, but we're getting hungry. What do you want to do about, you know, lunch? And it's getting 2 o'clock. It was probably about 2 o'clock by the time that flash panel ended. So, you know, I'm just kind of moseying and you know, watching things. I get out, I find them. They are, you know, cruising. They had met beautiful Bobby Eaton, and they're just walking around and looking at other things and some of the other vendors. I spoke briefly with Colin Bunn at that time. I think I might have even spoken to John Wesley Shipp before heading out. But regardless, the three of us went to lunch. I'll share a couple of restaurants with you if you are ever in the Southeast Missouri, Cape Girardeau area. We went to lunch, the three of us, and we'll get to that in a little bit as well, why it was the three of us. We went to lunch at Burritoville, and you can find it over close to the SEMO, Southeast Missouri State University campus, Burritoville. Massive burritos, great price, and so delicious. I think I had the chicken bacon ranch, something like that, burrito with some of the smoked ghost cheese. It's a little bit spicier cheese. Tremendous. Just fantastic food. And, of course, you know, sit there and visit with friends, always a good time. Then we went back to the con. And in doing so, I had picked up my Hellbreak number one because Ken, you know, the con bought 500 Hellbreak number ones, and we're distributing them for free to the first, you know, 500 people through the door. So I had my free Hellbreak number one, but I had it in my laptop bag, which Lady Smits was heading back to Casa de Smits, or the House of Smitty, and to relax and unwind and get ready for what was going to end up being a long night, of entertainment and hanging out. I will say this, before we returned to the con, we did hit up a tobacco shop, because I do partake of a cigar on occasion, and I thought, why not? You know, it's a nice weekend, might sit out on the patio and smoke a cigar, and that led to all of us smoking a cigar, so was able to repay their kindness with a nice aromatic cigar for that Saturday evening, but I digress. So we're back at the con, and yeah, you guys aren't bored yet, certainly not. I promise the Greg Land interview is coming up here shortly. Back at the con, I visit with Colin Bunn. I happen to see Desiree cosplay, and she's out of costume now, back in street clothes. I said, hey, would it be all right? I'd like, you know, to ask you a little bit more about cosplay, and she said, sure. And so we go outside to visit. You know, it's a little quieter outside. And, of course, if you listen to that episode 41, you know that we didn't talk as much cosplay as I had actually intended. We kind of went off on geeky, nerdy tangents, which was just fine. So we visited for 15 minutes or so, and I said, thank you very much, and you know, would you be interested in coming on, you know, just to talk more geeky, nerdy goodness? And she said, sure. And so, you know, we'll get together, you know, and chat again sometime eventually. I know it, and that's awesome. I thoroughly enjoy when people want to be a part of my show, and I gotta say that's very cool. She's not the only one. So I digress. Thanks to Desiree for her time, Colin for his time. I was at Colin's table, and I did buy the first edition, volume of The Sixth Gun, and I also got the graphic novel of Deadpool Kills Deadpool, some of his Marvel work, and he was gracious enough to autograph them. And I said, you know what, I actually have Hellbreak number one. And then I stopped and thought, no, I don't. I mean, I do, but I have it in my laptop bag heading away from the con at the time. So I wasn't able to get Hellbreak number one signed, but I certainly appreciate the time that Colin took to visit with me and sign the two books that I did buy. And if you, I said it earlier in the week in the Colin Bunn episode, number 42, Hellbreak number one, I really enjoyed. Hellbreak number two is out. It is sitting in my pull folder. I will pick it up today when I go to Free Comic Book Day, Twilight Comics, Shiloh, Illinois. New location, so check them out on Facebook. Just search Twilight Comics and you'll get their new location. But so visited with Colin Bunn. I went to the John Wesley Shipp part his table, and I, you know, reintroduced myself. I said, you know, I've got this panel recording that you did, and I just would you know, like to verify, you know, essentially can I have your permission to publish it. And he, at the minute, he thought it was a video. He said, yeah, yeah, can I, you know, see a little bit of it first? I said, well, it's just audio. He said, oh, that's fine. That's not a problem. You know, you run with it. So, again, thanks to John for letting me, you know, have that opportunity to share that with the listeners. And I said, you know, I actually got him to record a liner for the show, which was cool. Same with Colin, of course. I said, I'm going to come back. You know, I'll be here tomorrow if you're going to be here tomorrow. And he was there till about 2 on Sunday. I said, I'm strapped for cash right now, but I'll be back tomorrow. And if it's all right, you know, I'll hit you up then for a picture and an autograph and such. So he was more than fine. He's like, yeah, that's cool. We'll be here till 2 and then we'll mosey on. So that was, and then it was just a quick walk around with Mr. Smitty, Captain Smith, I think is sometimes I refer to him. We just kind of walked the floor a little bit and looked at him, and he looked at me. I was like, I'm ready, man. It been a long day. Used to get up off my feet. So we headed out, went into Cape and hit a couple stores before we found what we were looking for in the adult beverage range, and went and, you know, got, actually I'll tell you exactly what I got. I got the Schlafly, shout out to the St. Louis brewery, you know, the other St. Louis brewery. Everybody here knows about Anheuser-Busch. I prefer Schlafly myself, and got a 6-pack of their Kolsch and a 6-pack of their raspberry wheat, and I liked them both. I liked the Kolsch better, but I liked them both. And Captain Smith, he got the Sam Adams cherry wheat and something else. Yeah, I can't remember it now. Just trust me when I say that the cherry wheat was really good. If you like Sam Adams, if you like beer, a lot of cherry flavoring in there. So anyway, after that, we headed back to the house of Smitty and relaxed there for a little while. And my phone had died at the apparently least opportune time. And here's why I was down in Cape Girardeau by myself. My wife, who is a registered nurse, had been studying for months for the certification test. And the test happened to be that afternoon in Carbondale, Illinois, which is about halfway between here and Cape, you know, where we live in Cape. She had a test that afternoon at 4 o'clock, and she said, it's probably going to take a few hours, and then I'll go back home and, you know, hang out with the dogs, whatever, you know. It about like last year, except last year she didn't have the test. So I wasn't expecting anything. Well, I finally get back to House of Smitty and plug my phone in, and I've got couple missed calls, a couple of texts, and one of those missed calls and a voicemail said, hey, so I'm in Cape and I don't know where to go, but if I don't hear from you soon, I'm gonna go home. That was my wife. She came down to surprise me, and like a goob, I didn't have my phone on to respond, so I was fortunate enough to be able to catch her before she left town. So guided her to the House of Smitty, and eventually we went to dinner, the four of us, which was awesome. Headed back to Old Town Cape and ate at an Irish pub/restaurant by the name of Katie O'Farrell's. And I had never been there before, but the Smitty's had, and it was really good. If you ever go there, I recommend the pot pie, the beef pot pie, but everything looked good. And I can't wait to go back and try more. I wish it would not have been 8:30, 9 o'clock when we were eating, because I probably could have eaten more. And I'll definitely have to plan ahead next time and not go to Burritoville, you know, so late in the day, and then go to eat at KDO's. Because KDO's had tremendous food, had a Smittix beer or two. And then, you know, my wife, she departed and came back home, because, you know, the dogs needed, you know, some love. And so then I went back to the House of Smitty with the Smits, and just, you know, we enjoyed the cigars, we enjoyed the beverages, played a little Cards Against Humanity. Yeah, that's what my story, and I'm sticking to it. Played a little bit of that. I'd never played Cards Against Humanity before, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, in fact, today, Free Comic Book Day, I'm planning on getting a deck of Cards Against Humanity myself, just to have it. I think it's a fun game, you know, a fun little party game, and everybody seems to laugh. And we did that, and we just kind of visited for, I don't know, it seemed like a long time. It was probably 3 o'clock in the morning before we said, all right, troops, let's turn in. And I fell asleep watching Futurama on Netflix on my iPad like I tend to do at home anyway, so it worked out pretty well. Got up Sunday morning, and I'll say this. Lady Smiths can cook. I was in there getting a nice fresh shave on. Master Smiths actually just over a year ago got me into double edged shaving, and that's, you know, the old safety razors, probably like your dad or your grandpa would use, and applying the lather with a shaving brush and the double edged blades and things like that, and just quality shave. You know, you hear all about the Gillette Fusion Power Pro Glide or whatever. You don't need all that. You just need a good razor and a good blade and to know how to shave properly. And I love it. I used to look at shaving as a necessary evil, but now I look at it as an event. But that is a podcast for another day, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to necessarily bore you with the details, but if you enjoy it, the idea of a good shave, I would encourage you to look into DE wet shaving, double-edged shaving, whatever, safety razor shaving. Call it whatever you want. I don't care. Just check it out sometime. So anyway, while I'm getting a nice fresh shave on for Sunday, Lady Smith's is cooking up egg, spinach, cheese, bacon souffles. Oh, man. I had two of them. She only made four. Yeah. She made four. I had two of them. And there's three of us, and I had half of the souffles. That's how good they were. I probably could have eaten more, but it was getting late, and we needed to get back to the con to see everybody that we needed to see and do all that fun stuff. So we're back at the con, visiting with, you know, some people that I met last year, and some people that the Smiths have known for years, walking around, doing some shopping. I kind of went into this year's con with a game plan of I'll do business stuff on Saturday, and then I'll just kind of go and be a fan on Sunday. Did spend some money. Got my wife, who's an insanely massive Doctor Who fan, got her some Doctor Who glasses, some etched glasses. One has a Dalek on it, one has the TARDIS, one has K9, and then to round out the set of four, I'd cleaned out the Doctor Who inventory, so I got her a Baby Groot glass, and she just loves them, and that's all that matters. So I had the Colin Bunn autographed books, I had a chocolate truffle type of thing that I just, you know, spent a lot of time just kind of walking around and taking things in, and ran into fellow Jittery Monkey podcaster Kevin Hunsberger of My 1-2-3 Cents, and he was there. He visited with Bobby Eaton, of course, and had his daughter on hand, his daughter, on the right track, by the way, because she came out of the con with some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle earrings. And I think that if you're 9 years old and you're rocking the TMNT earrings, you're on the right path. But Kevin was nice enough, kind enough, or crazy enough to get video recording of me talking about the con and what it means to me that he put on, because he's a morning news anchor in Southern Illinois, and he put me on the morning news that Monday after the con, and my dad was right. I do have a face for radio. Whew, man. But No, but it was cool. It was, you know, cool to have that experience. I can, you know, cross that one off the bucket list of things to do before I turn 35, I guess. You know, being on a morning news show. There you go. Check that one off. Visited with Kevin a little bit. Played Master Schmitz in a game of Super Nintendo Mario Kart, the OG Mario Kart, and I beat him. I beat him soundly, because if I could tell you anything, I will tell you that when you're playing Mario Kart, always be the Koopa Troopa, because have the best Tokyo Drift capabilities in the game, and that's really what it's all about. So did that, kind of did one more pass around, the floor there, and I said, you know what, it's my father-in-law's birthday, I gotta be, you know, at dinner at a certain time, I got a jet, and so, you know, that was it. That was my con experience, and I was still late to dinner, because I had to make a stop on the way, and stop and visit my buddy Justin, and drop something off at his house, and then I got caught into another game of Super Nintendo, where I was playing a little bit of Super Nintendo, playing a Super Mario 3, trying to beat that, beat one level, help the boys there a little bit, but apparently it's been a long time since I played Super Mario. So, all that being said, that was my con experience. You've pretty much heard everything I have to tell you. Now I'm going to turn it over to myself and Greg Land to discuss a little bit about, you know, drawing for Marvel, his work for DC, the variant cover he did for the Avengers Ultron Forever that he did just for the Cape Comic-Con. And then I am heading out. And again, stick around for post-credits. But I will see you in episode 44 to come this upcoming Wednesday. And I don't think you're going to want to miss it, because I'm talking with a rock and roll Hall of Famer. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. You just got to tune in till the end of this episode to find out who's coming in episode 44. That's it for me now here in the Nerd Dome. We're going on the road talking with Greg Land of Marvel right now. All right, I'm spending a few minutes here with Greg Land, who is the Marvel featured artist coming down to Cape Comic-Con 10. I like to call it Cape Con X, but nobody's signed off on that shorthand yet. Greg, first of all, thanks for coming down to Cape Girardeau. It certainly is an honor to have you here at the show.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Everybody here has been great. You know, it's been a very good day.
This Marvel Avengers Ultron Forever variant that you worked up, incorporating that iconic bridge that anybody in the Southeast Missouri, Southern Illinois, Eastern Kentucky area knows, it's regional. I mean, it's not, you know, the Brooklyn Bridge or anything like that, but the fact that you incorporated that local spin for this very special variant, I'll tell you what, it's cool doesn't seem to get the job done. It's something very special, and I'm very glad you were able to take the time and do that.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it was a fun project to work on. You know, I got to do the old school Avengers, you know, in the classic Iron Man armor, and you know, just throwing in the bridge made it, you know, very unique to this city and to the area. So I was happy to do it.
What? If you've got a few minutes, I'd like to just visit with you briefly about you, about your career. At what age did you kind of pick up the pencil, start drawing, you know, and really maybe not thinking that you're going to turn it into a career, but at least get that interest, get that bug?
Probably about when I was 5 years old. When I was a little kid, I found comic books at the corner drugstore, which you no longer can do that, unfortunately. But yeah, my grandpa would take me to Rexall's drugstore. I'd go through the comic books, would go up to the counter, get a chocolate milkshake, sit there and read a comic book and drink a chocolate shake, and I was hooked. Even way back then, I used to draw comics, superheroes doing stuff in my sketchbooks, and ever since then, I knew I wanted to draw comic books.
At what age did you I don't want to say start making money, but what? When did you decide that was it that early that you were like, I'm going to try to make a career out of this, or did you have to, you know, do a few side jobs, you know, to help finance the art aspect?
Yeah. Well, my junior year in college, I got a job with a screen print company, so I spent 13 years doing screen print artwork, and I finally decided about 10 years into that, if I was ever going to do comic books, I need to get a portfolio together and start hitting some conventions and see if I couldn't break into the business.
You have a large body of work. What are some of your favorite characters that you had the opportunity to work on in your career?
Well, I tell you, I've enjoyed working on just about all the characters that I've gotten to work on. You know, back in my DC days, you know, I got to do Nightwing and Birds of Prey, and those were, you know, still two very special projects that I got to be involved with. Now at Marvel, you know, I've gotten to draw X-Men, Spider-Man occasionally, and then, you know, it just every project, I see something good in it, no matter what it is.
Just for perspective's sake, how long have you been working in the comic art field?
About 20 years now.
And how long, obviously the culture has changed. I mean, what used to be, you know, maybe filling up a small ballroom at a Holiday Inn is now, it's a global phenomenon. This comic book culture, I don't want to say geek culture, but you know, essentially that is. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in the medium, in the genre, just you know, in the last 20 or so years?
You know, obviously the convention circuit has gotten huge. You know, there's virtually a show somewhere every weekend, if not multiple shows. I guess as far as me, I mean, because I'm not on Twitter or Facebook or any of those kind of things, so I'm not involved in the social media aspect of things. I just keep my head down and I draw, and you know, that's always been my the way I've looked at, you know, being involved in this business. I love to draw, you know, and getting to draw comic books is a dream job. So for me, it's like things, even though things change, constantly change, the one thing that stays the same for me is just being able to sit there and draw.
In the last 20 years, I mean, 20 years ago, it was 1995, and the big comic book movie at the time was Batman Forever. A couple years after, we had Batman and Robin, and then we didn't have Batman for a while. Did you ever think that we would have a point where not only are they having an Avengers movie, but an Avengers sequel? They're making, you know, taking characters like Guardians of the Galaxy and turning them into huge, you know, major motion pictures that are global blockbusters. Did you ever, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but did you ever foresee anything like that happening with these characters, with this medium?
Absolutely. When they did Howard the Duck, I knew they had it. That's just being a smart aleck.
I don't even know where to go from that. Okay, so follow up then. Were you surprised to see Howard the Duck at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy?
You know, being a guy that's been into comic books as long as I have, that was a nice little treat. That was, you know, that was kind of fun. And that whole movie was fun, but, you know, that was just like a little birthday Easter egg, you know, ice cream on top of the sundae type of a thing at the end of that movie.
Greg, what are you working on now, and what can, you know, the public, when they go to the stores and see the shelves, it's not the corner drugstore anymore, I mean, when they go to their specialized comic book stores, what can they see that has your name on it that they can pick up and check out?
Well, various covers, I do, you know, some variants, that type of thing, but my next interior work that's coming out in June is Future Imperfect, which is the Maestro version of the Hulk, and it's involved in the whole Secret Wars thing.
And Secret Wars, of course, we know is going to be this massive event. We got a little bit of information on that in the Colin Bunn panel earlier in the day. So after that, you know, what do you have anything in the works that you can share with us? I know a lot of times these types of things are kept secret.
I have no idea. It's a secret to me. They don't tell me anything.
Greg, I want to thank you for your time, sir. And again, thank you for coming out here and the gorgeous cover art, the variant that you did for Ultron Forever. And it was an honor to meet you. And so grateful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.
Yo, this is DMC and a place to be, and the only place for me to be. I'm a super, super, super nerdy, geeky dude, is right here with the one and only Nerds United.